Some things I want to share with you this morning, been on my heart for a long time. One of them is this. I've been thinking about this, oh, probably the last year or so, as God has really begun to, I think, bless us in special ways here at Briar Street. I think the important for us to know this. The pastor is not called by God to build his church or to impress the members with his knowledge and experience. The pastor is the shepherd that God has called to feed, to protect, and to go after his sheep when they stray from the fold.
Try.
I have some food for you this morning.
Amen. Hungry.
If I was going to put a title to the message, which I don't do very often, but it would be this. The greatest threat to real Christianity is and always has been religion.
Right.
I want us to think about that together this morning. Faith is adhering to an unquestioning belief in someone or something. I want to repeat that now. Faith, any application that you want to give faith. Faith is adhering to an unquestioning belief in someone or something. Faith, therefore, is spiritual and supernatural. Because religion is the practice of performing rituals, embarking on philosophies, or obeying ethical codes. Religion is a physical and natural activity. There is a tremendous difference in the two. The trials and tribulations of the seed of Abraham, the Hebrews, the Jewish nation, was that they kept turning Abram's faith in God into a religion. They made a religion out of Abram's faith. The original faith of Abram. I have a place I want you to go to. Okay, I'll pack up. I'm on my way. Amen? The works of the flesh instead of the keeping of the covenant relationship with their Creator. The trials and tribulations of the New Testament church echoes the very same mistakes made by the Old Testament Hebrews. Works became part of being a Christian, and religion once again began to weaken and destroy the faith aspect of true Christianity. We see that fact repeated over and over in the history of the human race, which God created in his own image. We see it in the Dark Ages. We see it in the Crusades conducted by the Roman Church to take the Holy Land back from the Muslims. We see it in the awful times of the so-called Christian proclamation under Emperor Charlemagne. We see it in the surge of the Great Reformation through Calvin and Luther, and the quick backsliding of the faith as the neo-theologians and New World philosophers and psychologists replace scripture with their form of religion, which has become so popular in the days in which you and I are now living. Solomon proclaimed the truth of religious faith being repeated, left, backslidden, come, revival, left, backslidden, come, revival, all through human history. It's not even new. It's new to this generation, but it's not even new. And what was Solomon's proclamation? We find it in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Turn there if you want to. I'm going to read it to you. And this is something we need to think about seriously today. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
Amen.
Oh, this automobile that I just spent $26,000 for is new? No. Back then, it was a chariot pulled by horses. Not new. It's just the way we got around, amen? Just a form of transportation. Not new. Transportation isn't new. I wonder if we understand what is going on. There is nothing new. In this case, beloved, the war between religion and faith will continue until the new heavens and the new earth, which God has promised to his children, becomes a reality. And then there'll be no more new and no more old, but eternity. See, I'm trying to wrap my head around that, preacher. I am too. But it's so, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Religion, you see, is entirely of man, and faith is entirely of God.
Amen.
It is the gift, the free gift of God to man, faith. Without that gift, man is hopelessly trapped in the awful sin of not believing God.
Amen.
I want to go to the third chapter of John's Gospel. This is the primer, beloved. This is what every human being needs to hear and know. You say, oh, this is vacation Bible school stuff. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. This is something that you teach the kids. That's right. That's exactly right. And here's what it says. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Notice who he was, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, but no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he have a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, you can't understand or grasp anything about the kingdom of God, nor can you enter it unless you've been born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised, don't marvel, that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? How long you been preaching, fellow? Amen?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Knowest not these things? Verily, verily, truly, I say unto you, we speak what we know and testify what we've seen, and you won't listen to us. You don't receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, told you about the wind, where does it come from? If I told you about earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses was lifted up in the serpent, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. For, oh, now we like to memorize these verses, but they don't mean a thing if you don't understand what he's trying to tell Nicodemus.
Right.
They're just so many words. Listen to what it says. For God, the creator of the universe, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You believe in him, you have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, because the world already condemned, you see. We're going to find that out here in a minute. He didn't send him to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he killed somebody. No. I'm sorry. Because he is not faithful to his wife. See that? Because he stole money from the government. Because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After all these things came Jesus and disciples in the land of Judea, and they retired with them and baptized. And John was baptized near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, but John was not yet in prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing. A man can receive nothing except he listens to the philosophers. A man can receive nothing unless he goes to seminary. A man can receive nothing unless he's born a Jew. A man can receive nothing, listen to what he says, except it be given to him from heaven.
Sure.
Faith is the free gift of God. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth nearer them rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. That my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earth. And speaking of the earth, he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son, listen, I could read this one verse and you would understand it if you've been born again. I could read this one verse, and if you haven't been born again, you say, I don't know what you mean. I hope you understand it this morning. He that believeth on the Son hath, possesses at this moment everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now that's all pretty plain. You don't have to go to a theological seminary to understand that. And if you've been born again, even as I'm reading some of those earlier verses, you're saying, praise God, thank you, Lord. You see, Nicodemus knew all about religion. And nothing about faith. Without the spiritual birth, religion reigns. Christ did not come to start a new religion. The poor lost world had plenty of religion. Listen again to John 3:16-17. One more time. For God sent not his world into his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus came. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God. Believe in the word of God. Believe in the spoken word of God. Believe in the written word of God. Believe in the living word of God, Jesus Christ. So, Jesus came to save the world, not to start a religion. Christianity is not a religion. It is the way and the only way to enter the kingdom of God when you pass from this life.
Amen.
There is no other way. And it is a free gift to you. All God says is, believe me. Believe my word. Trust my son. The Constitution, we're going to get into some hairy waters here now. Okay? The Constitution of the United States states clearly, clearly, young people, listen to this. The Constitution of the nation in which you are now living states this clearly. No religious test shall be required of anyone seeking public office. I want to repeat that. I want to listen to it. No religious test shall be required of anyone seeking public office. Down in the left-hand corner of every op-ed page in your Springfield newspaper, you read this. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, of abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress or grievances. All of that is based on earthly premise. It doesn't talk about faith. It talks about religion. Jimmy, what's the difference? There you go. Too often, the religious person tries to shove his belief on the governed. There is also that we religious question mark people like to say the separation of church and state. That's a little dilemma here, isn't it? I just got through explaining, I think very clearly, that the church is not a religious institution. Church is the body, the living body of Jesus Christ, which you join by faith in the Word of God. And yet, when they swear him in the public office, what do they swear him in on? Does anybody understand where I'm going? I wonder if we aren't so confused about the separation in church and state. The so often quoted separation of church and state is so misunderstood today, it is almost ridiculous. The founding of this nation, the founders of this nation, understood what it meant, because they came from a turmoil of religions in Europe and in England. And they came here to find what?
Freedom.
What?
Freedom from religion.
Freedom from it.
Right.
Well, the crazy old man goes on. I want you to listen and bear with me this morning. Bless your hearts. I love you. I do. But please listen as I read two chapters from the book of Romans in closing. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 12 and chapter 13. These two verses of Romans tell us very clearly how the Christian citizen is supposed to live in a nation, an empire, a kingdom, whatever. But it's pretty plain, and it's something we need to hear, I think. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And of course, he's given us something to renew our minds. Amen?
Amen.
Right here. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless them which persecute you. And weep with them that weep. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. I'm sorry. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Be condescending to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recommend to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. I repeat, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Do we understand that? Do we understand that as American citizens? You know what? I'm going to stop here for just a minute. I believe it is the responsibility of every Christian, born again Christian, to be a registered voter.
Right.
I didn't say to vote with somebody you don't believe in. Anymore, it seems like we've come to this. My dad said back in the 40s and 50s, he was a pull the bar Democrat. He said, you know, it's got to where you, I got to vote between the two evils here. You know what I'm saying? The better of two evils. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying this morning, folks. We have a responsibility as Christians to get out of the house and go down there and cast a vote. And if we don't, we have no right to complain. That's what this is saying. If you listen to it, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The power of the being are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also. Oh yeah. Born again Christian ought to pay his taxes. Wow. I mean, I don't like some of the way some of the money's going. Nimbo! Well, I don't like the way they do it. Then wait until someone comes along you can vote for. But go vote for the lesser of two evils. Cast your ballot. Get out of the house. Go down and put something in the box that tells how you feel. Write your congressman. Oh, what's that? If I write my congressman, he never gets to see it. No, but you've done what God asked you to do. God didn't ask me to write my congressman. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. What higher powers is he talking about? He's not talking about God. He makes it very clear who he's talking to. He's talking about the king, the president, whoever it is. We read into things what we want to read. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom for. Honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth one another hath fulfilled with. I see the scissors coming out now, clipping the cards. Are you following me? I see the scissors coming out now, clipping those plastic cards. Oh, no man anything. Okay. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandments. See why we need Jesus? How many people see why we need Christ? Just in that couple of verses, yeah. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is brief to comprehend in this name. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Boy, mine is, I'm 83. The night is far spent, amen. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know, if we Christians followed this, I don't think there'd be as many Fergusons.
No, you're right. That's right.
If we followed the basic common sense information just in these two scriptures as Christians in a land that desperately needs to come back to God. I believe we'd see a revival when my people, which are called by my name, pray and seek my face. Why, heck, fire. Half of our Baptist churches don't even have prayer meetings anymore. Midweek services become something else. I just wonder if we really think about these things. You know, I'm not trying to hang black crape. I'm just telling you the way it is. Really all boils down to this, doesn't it? There was only one commandment, Jesus says. Why did you read all this stuff? Because it's all in this one commandment, see? It's all in this one commandment. All that stuff that I read to you. John 3, two verses in Romans, all through the book, one commandment. He said, we had to love the Lord our God with everything we have. Everything. Amen?
Amen.
Everything you have. Love the Lord. And love our neighbors as ourselves. Always remember this truth. The separation of church and state truly means that the state shall have no power over the church, and the church shall have no power over the state, because God has power over everything. Isn't that something? When we come right down to it, Christ did not save us to conquer the state for God, but to save us so we could tell the world who he is and what he has planned for all those that believe his word. Human history is all you need to show you this is true.